Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be in. However you may be making it part of your day, thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, in for Colin Cowherd. Radio. Radio. Oh, yeah. Wherever you may be listening, however you may be making this part of your day, thank you so much. Now, by the way, I have some incredible all-ball podcasts, part of the Herd Podcast Network. You guys remember 3 years ago, first day of the NCAA tournament, when UMBC upset Virginia? Their head coach, Ryan Odom, still their head coach. They won their league this year. Then they got upset. He joined me. It's available. It's called All Ball on the Herd Podcast Network. If you're listening to this show on Colin's feed, then you can also get it on that feed as well. By the way, Virginia is still defending national champion as we get ready for a bubble, an Indianapolis bubble version of the NCAA tournament. And by the way, there's big news. Big news in college basketball. Duke had a positive COVID test, reportedly a walk-on. As my college coach, the late Eddie Sutton, used to say, Shaggers! A walk-on test positive. Duke's turbulent season comes to an unceremonious end, which kind of bookends the last year, because we are a year removed from sports shutting down. It was 1 year ago today, sports shut down. And Duke loses any of their postseason hopes, likely because of a shutdown due to one positive test. If that isn't 2020/2021 in a nutshell, I don't know what is. We'll get to that coming up. But I want to start with something Jerry Jones said yesterday, which I was listening to actually a guest on Dan Patrick's show. And Dan, you know, I actually think that Jerry Jones can be delightful and is engaging and is entertaining. But the need to laugh at every line that he has, it's uncomfortable. But still, Jerry Jones yesterday had a press conference with Dak Prescott, his $126 million over the next 4 year quarterback of the Dallas Cowboy. Jerry said this about admitting he overpaid for Dak, but he's completely fine with it.
Most anything that I've ever been involved in that ended up being special, I overpaid for. Every time, to the end. Anytime I've tried to get a bargain, I got just that. It was a bargain in a lot of ways, and not up to standard.
Yeah. Well, I'll pay, you know, I'm sure Jerry walks in to buy a car, he pays sticker, right? Always a name brand car. There is the power of the name brand. What's interesting is the juxtaposition with not just what's happening in the world, what's happening in the National Football League, and what's happening with, for example, the New England Patriots. If you've been looking around the National Football League, the cuts are really remarkable in terms of the names. J.J. Watt, of course, was on the market for about a week. He's now an Arizona Cardinal at a lesser salary. He's supposed to make $17.5 million this year, non-guaranteed with the Texans. Instead, he's going to make $11 million in change, $23 million over 2 years with the Arizona Cardinals. And that's probably top of the market, for even as talented as J.J. Watt, for 32 years old. The Kansas City Chiefs just released their two bookend tackles, both injured, but both cap casualties. Emmanuel Sanders is gone from the New Orleans Saints. Kyle Van Noy, well, they got out of that contract really, really quickly in Miami. It wasn't necessarily a cap casualty, but he made too much based upon his performance. Malcolm Butler, another former New England Patriot. Trent Brown was released by the Oakland Raiders. And I think there's a parallel to what's happened last year and what happens in your business, what's happening in my business, what's happening in the NFL's business. It's Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. I want you to think about this for a second. I don't know if you're gainfully employed. I hope you are. If not, I hope you get on your feet rather quickly. Obviously, we had historically low unemployment before this thing happened. And then this thing happens, and obviously there were first there was a pause, then there were furloughs, then there were just outright layoffs. And now we're trying to figure out, all right, who gets hired back and what does the landscape look like? Have you looked to hire somebody? I can only tell you that in my business, okay, which is broadcasting, from producers to on-air talent to directors to people, I have a dear friend I've been talking to. He's talking about switching professions because he lost his job and he was in management at one of the top companies in broadcasting. He was like in charge of hiring and firing, lost his job. And he's like, you know, I got a kid in college. I got one that's getting ready to get into college. And I got to figure out how do I use all the connections I have my job to find my next. I was like, you don't have a job right now? No. How many friends have you talked to that are trying to figure it out, right? We don't call it I'm out of work anymore. We don't say I'm unemployed. I'm just trying to figure things out. That's what we say. I'm trying to figure things out. I'm guessing you have numerous, you know, my esteemed producer, Ryan Music, is now one of the producers with Colin Cowherd Show. He's producing us today. So when Ryan moved up the food chain, I couldn't believe how many super talented people are out there and out of work because people got laid off, right? If it happens in my business, I guarantee it's happening in your business. If restaurants go out of business and close their doors because people can't go, there's got to be a litany of quality chefs out there. Also, quality entrepreneurs with money trying to find the next thing to spend on. You go through the entertainment business. Couldn't make movies if you couldn't be in person. Right? So all of those people out of work. And now this is where the smart people, the really, really smart people, understand that it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get somebody who you never could have gotten. I couldn't have gotten him, but he was out of work. The Brooklyn Nets just did this, right? Granted, it's different, but they have this like every year with the buyout market. There's no chance they're getting Blake Griffin in the salary cap, but Blake Griffin gets bought out and suddenly you can get Blake Griffin for $1 million? Like what? Blake Griffin's going to play basketball for $1 million? Granted, he got $55 million to not play for the Pistons, so cry me a river, but the point is that he was on the market. Teams were hemorrhaging money last year in the NFL. And you're like, well, they're worth this and that and the other thing. Like, the idea that NFL teams are worth billions of dollars, you don't own an NFL team with the desire to sell an NFL team. That's not why they buy them. They buy them because they're toys. And they want them, and they, by the way, will want to make money on them. And usually they do. And they make money on the value of them. So I use that as Jerry Jones is sitting here going, hey, you know, I will pay for everything. That's good. I have to pay. Like, dude, this is basically like a recession. And a recession, frankly, is like a rich man's yard sale. They can go through and go like, I'll take that for less. I'll take that for less. I'll take that for less. Do you know who has the third most money, cash, under the cap? That would be the New England Patriots. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to reboot their franchise, not with draft picks. Not with draft picks. Draft picks, first round draft picks hit 53% of the time. It's basically 1 in 2. And the further down you go in the draft, the lower that percentage is in terms of hit rate. Now, it doesn't mean that Trent Brown's absolutely going to get back to his form, but you know what his form can be when he's right, when he's not on the COVID protocol, and when he's been used the right way. I don't know if they want Malcolm Butler back, but Malcolm Butler at $1 million is a lot better than Malcolm Butler considering what he was making at Tennessee before he was released. The Patriots had 8 dudes who opted out last year on the defensive side of the football alone. And they can refill their coffers without having to go through the process of figuring out who could play. And what, by the way, is the real story of the Patriots' success over the last 20 years?
They are the absolute best in football at the waiver wire transaction. Understanding who's out there, what do they need, and who can they get for less who fits that need. That's how they built themselves. Go back and look. They haven't drafted that great. They haven't drafted terribly in the lower rounds. They haven't drafted that great. How'd they get all these players? They acquired them. They figured it out. They know the landscape. They know how to evaluate. Okay, he may not be great there, but there he's making 10. We pay him 2, and we put him in a position where he's more likely to succeed. And guess what? You get more out of him. Meanwhile, Jerry has overspent on Amari Cooper. He's overspent on Ezekiel Elliott. He's overspent on Jalen Smith. He now admittedly overspent on Dak Prescott. Yeah, he overspent in the stadium. Everything good I ever got, I overspent on. Like, okay, Jerry, how's that worked out for you the last 20 years in the NFL? Bill's been doing it a different way. How's it worked out for him? So I look at society and I realize that there are people far smarter than me. I have one job open. They want to start a business. And they look out just like I have. And you talk to people, you're like, I cannot believe you're out of work, dude. And just like those people, I mean, it's obviously different in terms of financial tax brackets, right? Like J.J. Watt going from $17 million to $11.5 million is a little bit different than, you know, Jimmy, who's an executive, going from $125 a year to $60 a year, right? Like a swallow hard. But the point is still the same. There are thousands, millions even, of talented people out of work. And somebody smart's going to go, you know, I can start my business with people who have already proven themselves in the business world. And I don't have to teach them how to do it. I buy them. I buy their connections. I buy their experience. And I do it for pennies on the dollar because of the marketplace. That's what the Patriots are doing. Meanwhile, Jerry's still in the, let's spend, spend, spend. That's what he always does. For him, it's a business transaction. For Bill Belichick, it's football. Find guys that fit what you need, that will do their job, and do it within the confines of a certain salary amount. Get things for less and get more out of them. Jerry Jones is bragging about overspending and talking about how it worked. He might be talking about his stadium. It's not about his football team. Bill Belichick hadn't said a word. But this is a football recession where he's garage sale hunting. He's one of those, what is that Pickers show? What's that Pickers show? You guys seen the American Pickers, right? You get the really little guy. That guy's really little, right? And then the other guy who's kind of an angular face. And then the woman who tells him where to go and she's real boss and she's all tatted up, right? It's the Patriots. They're in a van, they're driving around the Midwest, and they're stopping off at a bunch of hoarders' houses, and they're picking up some winners. All right, coming up next, I'll tell you why two big moves that the Chiefs made could not just determine their Super Bowl fate, but the fate of Pat Mahomes' career.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. iHeartRadio app, Fox Sports Radio, or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure and check out my All Ball podcast, man. I got some good ones. I have one we're going to drop tomorrow. My man, Justin Bean. Justin Bean, he's player of the week in the Mountain West. He's 6'7". He's from Southmore, Oklahoma. and had no scholarship offers out of high school. His dad played at Idaho State. Mom went to Utah State. Had no scholarship offers. Goes on a Mormon mission and is in Nevada. Part of it's in Reno. And his dad, back then they couldn't call home except for twice a year. So for 2 years, remember, he's on the road as a Mormon missionary. He told me all about like what it's really like. How did he stay in shape? Did he play basketball? How he made it? Now he's on scholarship, even though he was a preferred walk-on. And they won back-to-back Mountain West tournament titles, and they're in Vegas. I recorded with him last night. He is unbelievably good and interesting and funny, and you'll love. Plus, you watch him play. Like, that's a dude. Brother Bean is going to be a terror at every Mormon church for the next 25 years playing ball on weekday mornings, because you know, Mormon church has a hoop court, and he's awesome. Anyway, All Ball, the All Ball podcast on the Herd Podcast Network. So you may have heard at the top of the hour that Mitchell Schwartz, who of course missed the Super Bowl with injury, Eric Fisher missed the Super Bowl with injury, to number one overall pick. Those are the bookend tackles for the Kansas City Chiefs, were both released today. Part of it is older. Part of it is injured. Most of it is cap casualties, right? It's the reality of it. And we do know that the cap is going to spike some point in the near future. We're just not to that future yet. And if you watch the Super Bowl, will we all agree Pat Mahomes is awesome? Like, does anybody want to question Pat Mahomes' credentials? But what you would hear from NFL people is like, or if you just watch his family, like, well, what if you put Aaron Rodgers with that offensive line, with that running back, with those wide receivers? Like, Aaron Rodgers has one great wide receiver. But give him Tyreek Hill. Give him Travis Kelce. Give him, Sammy Watkins isn't worth what he's paid, but dude is still very, very tough. Give him Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Give him the play calling of Andy Reid and the offensive line that protected him. Well, you took away that offensive line, and how was he in the Super Bowl? Right. Last year in the Super Bowl, he struggled because Nick Bosa was in his lap. The line struggled, but that was a good offensive line. This one was a banged-up offensive line. And I know that we're still in a window where it's not as crazy a cap number, but considering all the money they have tied up, how are you gonna replace two bookend tackles? You're gonna have to draft. And as I told you before, first round draft picks, it's a 53% hit rate. So if you take a first round draft pick tackle and you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you got a basically a 1-2 shot of him hitting. That's also a 1-2 shot of him missing as well. You got to nail it. And then you kind of got to be lucky too, like, to be totally honest. Right? Not only do you have to nail it, but then also the guy has to stay healthy. That sometimes is completely out of control. Then you got to get another tackle. Oh yeah, and then you have other flaws within your team, which you're going to have to shore up. So does anyone else feel that we're going to get to a place where, hey, welcome to how the rest of the world lives? Right? Like, Aaron Rodgers didn't have David Bakhtiari in the NFC Championship game, and Tampa dominated the line of scrimmage. That said, they still obviously had a chance to win it late, came up short several times over. But the point was that for Aaron Rodgers, it's finally a chance to say, hey, welcome to my world. You know, Russell Wilson, welcome to my world. I've had offensive line problems for years. And now you're making so much money, it's prohibitively more difficult to support you with an offensive line because we got other holes and other mouths to feed. And so what's the answer going to be? Draft young players. Yeah, okay, but what about if they're not that good? Well, draft better. That's great. All of the research, you don't think that everybody researches? Everybody has scouts. Everybody researches. They do make good decisions or bad. The hit rate's still 53%. All right, let's get you to Herdline News. Here's Ryan Music.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Doug.
Ryan.
Hello, friend. Good to be with you here this morning. How are you?
I'm great.
All right, let's start off where you just left off with some NFL cap casualties. You had mentioned the two cuts that the Chiefs had to make to their starting offensive linemen. another one of the cap casualties that we just heard about not too long ago. The Saints having to release their starting quarterback, Janoris Jenkins. The Saints actually, with that move, are no longer the team in the worst cap situation in the NFL right now. Here's a quick rundown of the top five teams that are still over the cap. They have about a week to get below the cap. The Rams are number one, Saints second, Bears third, Eagles four, Falcons fifth. The interesting thing here is the Eagles and the Falcons still being so far above the cap, and they weren't good last year. You would imagine, at least if you had a bunch of money tied up into big contracts, your team would be good, but they clearly were not. So a few teams out there with still a lot of work to do in terms of restructuring contracts.
As you've seen several people tweet out, that NFL executives continue to say it's going to be a bloodbath, right? Because even teams that are in good cap shape, they're still, they always, you know, cut dudes that have unreasonable contracts for their age and for their skill set. But now yes, the team's in really bad shape. I mean, yeah, this is it's what the NFL is going through. It's again a delayed reaction, but a delayed reaction to the year-long shutdown. It hurt them in revenues. Those revenues are directly reflected in the NFL's cap. That cap breeds cap casualties, and that of course gives us so many of these guys going to be on the market.
Yeah, and it's so fascinating, as you said. Now it's going to be interesting, you know, for teams like the Patriots or the, you know, whether it's the Colts. You know, there are a couple of good teams out there that still have a little bit of cap space to work with. You also have a Washington football team. They have like almost $39 million. The Dolphins, $33.5 million of money to actually spend. So now it's going to be interesting to see where some of these guys who you would never expect to actually hit the market and where they could end up on an actual contender. Obviously, the Jets and the Jags are at the top of this list with money to spend, but I'm not sure who's really signing up to go play in New York, but perhaps the drafting of Trevor Lawrence could change people's opinions about Jacksonville.
It should be pointed out that that Dallas does have some carryover cap from last year, so there are other teams that have a little bit better cap situation than you're being led to believe, based on not just the pure cap number. But yeah, look, you can get guys to go to Jacksonville, but generally you've had to overpay them because you're like, okay, but you're going to be on a bad football team. My guess is most those two teams go exceptionally young, and use that cap space to keep the players that they like, that they have, and then continue to load up on draft picks.
We'll wrap up with this, Doug, right in your wheelhouse. You mentioned it at the top of the show. For those who have missed it, some big news in the world of college basketball. Duke is having to forfeit their ACC tournament game against Florida State due to a positive COVID test. Now, the part that is not necessarily news, if you've been following college basketball at all this year, is this likely means that Duke's going to end up missing the tournament because they have not had a good season whatsoever. Coach K said, quote, "We are disappointed. We cannot keep fighting together as a group after two outstanding days in Greensboro. This season was a challenge for every team across the country, and as we have seen over and over, this pandemic is very cruel and it is not yet over." Their athletic director, Kevin White, also put out a statement saying this will end our 2020-2021 season. Duke had a streak of 24 straight appearances in the NCAA tournament.
Wow. I mean, we'll talk about this a little bit later on in the show, but I saw where Turner came out and said, "Hey, our revenues were sold out." Like, okay, but let's see what the viewership looks like. I'm going to watch. I'm going to get a chance to cover it for studio for Westwood One, but I'm going to watch and I love it. But generally, when you don't have Duke involved, then you won't have Kentucky involved. Like, those are the two biggest draws. Brand name sell. Kansas will make it, but for how long? Michigan State looks like they're going to squeak in, but for how long? Syracuse has to probably win today, but for how long? North Carolina, I know they won by 42 over Notre Dame last night, but for how long? UCLA, same thing. Like, you take those name brands out, and Gonzaga's great. Baylor's awesome. But there is no metric that tells you that America wants to see Gonzaga versus Baylor in the Final Four. They just
They won't watch. And I dread what I think is going to happen. Plus, the tournament's not really set up the way it probably could be or maybe should be. Like, they still have it spaced out to three different weekends. But it was spaced out that way, yes, for TV, and rightfully so and smartly so, but also for travel in between sites. They're not going to travel. So you're going to have kids in the... You got Big Ten players. I'm across the street from the Dome here in Indianapolis. You got Big Ten players who are going to be here for a month. You think they're going to perform at an optimum level, stay in the same place? I don't think so. And that's Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right, let's welcome in Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, senior NFL reporter. Of course, he has his own podcast. If you want to catch up on NFL stuff, on Twitter, at Charles Robinson. Jerry laughs and says, yeah, he overpaid him. What's the league's reaction to the deal?
You know, I think it's a combination of everybody knew this is sort of where this was going. There were no options. There were no outs other than walking. I mean, that was it. It was either they weren't going to go acquire a quarterback because you're going to give up, capital to let's say, you know, Russell Wilson throws the Cowboys on his top five, which he did. And what are the Cowboys going to do? They're going to give up draft picks and then give Russell Wilson more money than they just gave Dak. I mean, for a contract extension, and there weren't really any other palatable options out there that weren't going to cost something. And so this was it. This was, and I think when teams looked at where the Cowboys were, let's say what's a good quote unquote good deal for Dak at this point, given, you know, what the progress that he's had. He's been your starter. He was a cheap starter for a number of years. Let's say it's $35 million. I don't think there's many NFL teams out there that are going to sit there and quibble over $20 million spread over 4 years. And so, I think everybody is starting to understand that if you have a starter that you believe is a franchise quarterback and you believe is a top 10 franchise quarterback, you're going to have to probably overpay to keep them. And, you know, unless you're going to do a Pat Mahomes deal, which was a monster deal, that's the only deal that won't be overpaid if he plays out the entire 10 years of it. And so, I don't think a lot of teams were necessarily, you know, super surprised. And I know Mike Florio and I are apart on this, and he tweeted he thought it was a kind of a foolish narrative that Jerry paid the money because he knows what the TV deals are going to be. I actually disagree with Mike. I think that Jerry, maybe it's less about the money, it's more about the structure. He gave Dak 4 years, so which means Dak's going to hit free agency. They're going to go back to the negotiating table when he's 30, and that means they're going to probably go back to the negotiating table when he's 34 and 38. And so, to me, you know, they dug in last year saying, look, we got to have 5 to 6 years, and they ultimately surrendered for four.
Well, it's really five, though, because he got the 1 year. He got the 1 year in the
right,
franchise,
yeah,
tag, right?
Well, that's the Cowboys. I mean, that's what I remember. You know, as soon as the deal was signed and I had a chance to talk to somebody there, the first thing this guy said to me is, hey, look, we were looking for five anyway. We got the five if you count.
I thought the five, and then he can walk at the end of the five. I thought, like, all parts of this deal are bad to me for the Cowboys. You know, I guess the good thing is that it just why is everybody so scared of the open market? I don't really, you know, people, well, you're worth what the market will bear. He didn't
because
play
you don't,
the market.
Because you don't want to let someone else. It's not so much being scared of the open market. It's being scared of one team, just one team, and not knowing who that one team is and letting someone else set the table for you.
He's making just below Pat Mahomes money. Do you think somebody in the open market is going to pay him Pat Mahomes money?
Probably. Kirk Cousins got paid $28 million a year in a fully guaranteed contract, then got extended on top of that.
Kirk Cousins, his team didn't want him. Like, it's different. There wasn't the, like, the Cowboys very could have easily said, like, here's the offer. You know, it's
yeah,
five,
you're
six
underestimating.
Years,
Doug, someone paid Nick Foles a ton of money. I mean, like, you're underestimating the reality that when there's desperation.
Okay,
but wait a second.
He wants a 4-year deal. Right? He won a bunch of money up front. Everybody's going to have, you know, they have cash flow issues right now, and they have cap issues right now. everybody's in kind of the same problem. Here's my issue is they haven't beaten a good team in 2 years. When he's the quarterback, they haven't beaten a good team in 2 years. And now they got Amari Cooper's overpaid. They got Ezekiel Elliott's overpaid. They got Jalen Smith's overpaid. Their offensive line is on reputation more than how good they actually are. They've aged. You know, they've aged. They're not the dominant wall they used to be. And Dak is, he's good. He's, no one's saying he's bad, but he's not an elite guy and he hasn't carried them. He just hasn't. There's other than yardage, there's nothing you can point to that says.
First off, I disagree that he hasn't carried him. Okay, and I'm not a huge Dak guy, but I will say this: they're a remarkably different team when he doesn't play. And I think if you looked at them last year, the only reason they were in games until he was injured was because of Dak Prescott. The rest of that team was horrendous. They were a terrible team. And as soon as he went out, that team collapsed. It collapsed internally. It took them the length of the season. They were devouring themselves from the inside out. And it's part of the reason why you get rid of a defensive coordinator. People were going after Mike McCarthy, you know, and to me, he kept them competitive last year. And again, this is a guy who's gotten better every single year. Look, you can sit there and say, hey, he's not a top five quarterback. Fine. I don't argue with that. That's a fact. That's a reality. But you can't sit here and say, well, Jerry's 78 years old. Why not just start over? Hey, you know, go ahead. You've been in the quarterback of this before. You see other teams that they get stuck in these situations where they can't find the right guy and they're swapping out and, you know, hoping that this next guy's going to be it. And then they're making that change a couple years down the line. I mean, I'm not saying the front office has been great, but I'm also not going to kill Dak Prescott here. I mean, he got a ton of money. Okay, well, guess what? Was Derek Carr worth a ton of money when he got it? No, he wasn't. Derek Carr has not been the answer for the Raiders. Okay, so is that a bad deal? Matt Stafford got a record-setting deal when he signed his extension with the Lions. Was he the answer? No, he wasn't the answer. Most of the time, Doug, these quarterbacks are not the answer. It's very rare to sign a quarterback who isn't Pat Mahomes or Russell Wilson. You get two or three guys who end up being worse the money that gets dumped into them. And I'm not saying be afraid of the open market, but you're going to lose them. Like if you send them out in the open market, somebody's going to pay them. I can tell you that. Absolutely. It's going to happen because there's just teams out there that will fall over themselves to do a deal because a general manager needs to keep his job. A head coach needs to keep his job. All they got to do is convince owner who doesn't know football that this is the right thing to bring the team together. And then there you go. And again, Jerry's 78, man. He's 70. How are you going to look at Jerry and go, know what, Jerry, just go ahead, start over again, and don't worry about it. You're going to be alive when we win a Super Bowl. I mean, it's not realistic.
Diana Rossini saying, tweeting out that a month ago she would have said, Russell Wilson, no chance he's traded. I talked to somebody within the Bears organization and said, they're not saying no. They're not saying no. They haven't said yes, but they're not saying no. What are you hearing on Russell Wilson?
He hasn't officially requested a trade. Like I don't know what he wants, okay, but like to say if quote unquote if we were traded, here's the teams we'd be interested in going to, but not actually saying, hey, it's time to deal us. It means that he is leaving the door open to not leave the Seattle Seahawks. I just don't know what specifically he wants. He wants influence on the offense. That's what he wants. Well, guess what? So does every other quarterback. Aaron Rodgers wants influence on the offense. Tom Brady left, you know, and went to Tampa because he wanted influence on the offense, the culture, and all these different things. Deshaun Watson, you can guarantee if he gets dealt wherever he goes, he's going to want influence. So, you know, if they can't bridge that gap, Seattle's sitting there looking and saying, look, we have a young core, guys. We can take, you know, Russ's money and we can extend a number of these guys and we can, you know, just reboot at quarterback and figure it out. The problem is, A, they're going to take a cap hit when you know, no matter how they you know, structure it, they're going to end up taking a cap hit when they move on from them. B, the only team that has the assets and the money to bring them in, and then the desperation, which, again, I think is key, it's the Bears. So, to me, it's the Bears or nobody else on his list because the list doesn't, you know, what, he's going to go to the Saints? Is he paying any attention to what's going on with the Saints right now?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I got one more for you really quickly. I'm sitting here watching all these big name guys get cut, right? And they're all in the open market, and it's going to be a bloodbath. And you're seeing names of Trent Brown going back to New England. And I don't know, Malcolm Butler didn't end well, but you never know. The Patriots sitting there with the third most cap room. This feels like wins for the Patriots. Like they're just going through the garage sale and going to go, yeah, we'll take that, but we're going to give you, it's worth $50. I'll give you a quarter for it. Like, all right, here, right? Like that's, it feels like a Belichickian offseason.
You said it, they got money and, you know, but they're not going to, I don't see them going out and blowing out any guys. Like you said, if they can sign a number of guys to 1 year deals, I mean, that's what Trent Brown, you know, I mean, that's what he is. Like he was, Raiders had it with him. They were going to cut him anyway. And so the, you know, the Patriots get a cheap offensive tackle, cheapish offensive tackle for a year. And yeah, I mean, they'll be able to look at, hey, Kyle Van Noy, do, you know, can we get Kyle Van Noy back for cheaper? Can we get, you know, it's like when Jamie Collins, remember when Jamie Collins left for the Cleveland Browns? Okay, they didn't want Jamie Collins because the money was ridiculous. Goes to the Cleveland Browns. Jamie Collins ends up back with the Patriots down the line. And, you know, I think they'll do some bargain shopping, but they're not going to be this team that, you know, I don't see them being this team that blows out. Hey, because they've got the money, you know, they lay the wood to free agency and sign a bunch of guys to long-term deals because they don't have to. And then, oh, by the way, I think all the agents are being told by the union and believe it, sign one-year deals. You know, it's not a great, you know, situation. The middle class is going to get squeezed here. Some of the upper-level guys are still going to do big deals. But just sign most of your guys to one-year deals. And then next year when the cap, you know, gets itself straightened out, things will go kind of back to normal next year. We'll have the TV money. We'll kind of know what the revenue models are for, you know, gambling, opening up in other states. Things are going to get better and, you know, just handle it in the short term. So it would be better. I mean, it'd be better if the Jets and the Patriots weren't the two teams that, you know, had just this absolute boatload of money in free agency, because I think both of those teams are going to be inclined to be a little careful about how they spend their money this offseason, maybe roll that over into 2022.
Flores had lunch with Tua.
Yeah.
I know it's just lunch, right? There's actually a website, right? It's just lunch. Does that mean Deshaun's not going to where is Deshaun Watson the day after the draft?
They want Miami. I mean, Deshaun wants, that's been consistent. If they are absolutely 100% aimed toward Miami, but the problem that they have is I truly don't think that Brian Flores is out on Tua. You know, I know the fans are pissed off and, you know, feel like he's limited and, you know, all these different things, but I don't know that Flores is sitting there and going, yeah, let's give up, you know, three first round picks or two first round picks and two key starters and, you know, cast our lot with Deshaun Watson, who then we bring in, is going to be looking for, you know, another extension in the next 2 years, which is going to, you know, lead the league in the highest paid quarterback. And oh, by the way, everything we've just given up to you means that, you know, we're selling out and you can affect the offense in any way, shape, or form you want. I don't know if Flores is on board with that, as a lot of people seem to think. So it doesn't matter until Houston picks up the phone. And I think, yep, you know, you talk to the Jets, they're frustrated. You know, Miami, no, everybody's checking in. Houston keeps saying, we're going to play hardball in this situation. And I'll tell you what, if Miami sticks with Tua, that definitely shrinks the options for Deshaun Watson. Maybe the Texans are saying, we'll let the rest of the league force him back to the table with us.
Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports senior NFL reporter, has a great podcast. Check that out. Follow him on Twitter at Charles Robinson. Charles, thanks so much, man.
Thanks, brother. Be safe.
You too. Did Dak's deal help or hurt the Ravens' chances to sign Lamar Jackson to a long-term deal? We'll discuss next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. Juicy. juicy Russell Wilson rumors. Top of the hour. That's upcoming. Doug Gottlieb for Colin. Eric DaCosta is the general manager of the Ravens. So naturally what happens is Dak Prescott signs a deal. So we're like, ooh, who else needs to have a contract? Who else? Who else? Who else? Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson. Yes, Lamar Jackson. Eric DaCosta is the GM of the Ravens. He was asked about the possibility of signing his star quarterback to a long-term extension.
As an executive, when you're talking about these kind of contracts, it's like when you know, if you go to the Bentley dealership or the Range Rover dealership, you know what the cars are going to cost. You're not going to get much of a discount. They all cost about the same. And you go in there and you're going with the idea that you're either going to buy the car or you're not going to buy the cars. But in the end, they're all very big contracts for outstanding players. They're quarterback deals. They're marquee players. And you know you're going to pay a lot, but you're going to get a lot in return.
Yeah, that's a long way of saying, like, look, it's going to be a lot of money at some point. We're going to wait. I mean, look, there's no rush. The guys, remember, Dak's been in the league 5 years. 5 years. 1 year in the franchise tag. Of course, first couple years, he was on that fourth-round draft pick money. Whereas Lamar, end of first-round money, not great money, and he was an MVP. So he's obviously paid, but you're not paid based upon what you've achieved previously. You're paid what you're expected to achieve in the future. The way he plays, he does slide, he does get out of bounds, he does make people miss, but it does make you hold your breath how much he runs the football, that he's going to get hurt. And then there's the quite obvious questions about his ceiling. If you look at the last two big-name quarterbacks to sign a contract after the third year, Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, how'd that work out for him? And Wentz, the injuries obviously played a factor. I think the Ravens are smart here to just have balance, take a breath. Maybe they end up paying him gargantuan money, but that would be a year or two from now. Coming up next, a new juicy Russell Wilson trade rumor. We'll discuss on the Herd.